So good to see you. Y'all look really good out there. You feeling good? David, or all of you guys are looking good out there. Well, I'll tell you, this past week we had a food distribution up here, and we had a good time. We were over inundated with food, which is a good thing, right? We had a whole lot of food to give away. And it's interesting because one of our members said, you know, with some of this leftover food, I'll take it. And he ended up going to a drug rehab center and giving it to some guys at Victory Temple in Fort Worth. And you know, God is just so good. He is doing so many great things through our outreach ministry. People have give some special giving towards our outreach ministry, and we bought a trailer. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but we're working on that right now to be doing a lot of other things out in the community to take the love of Jesus outside of the walls and to show people the light of Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to be doing that. I hope that you're ready for it. Be preparing yourself for that, all right? Well, we're walking through right now a series. We're going through the book of Romans in this series called Finding Grace. And I've been saying this every week. If you do not know the grace of God, you're going to want to find it. You're going to want to find it. And so today, I want to talk to you about how to win the war inside of you. Doesn't that sound good? How to win the war inside of you. Last week, we learned about that we have victory over sin, that as followers of Jesus, we are free from sin's power, but we still have to deal with sin's pressure, right? We still have to deal with the pressures of sin, and so we recognize that sin, it threatens our joy, it threatens our peace, it seeks to capture our thoughts and control our attitudes, even as believers, y'all. But here's the deal, as believers, we approach sin as the enemy, right? We see sin as being deception, it's deceiving. We know it is a lie, and so we stand opposed to it, we stand against it, we don't want it in our lives, right? And so it's important that we sort of capture this. This is so important because we don't abide in it anymore, right? We don't live in it. We don't make excuses for it. We don't seek to embrace it, but we still have to contend with it, and we still have to deal with the temptations of it. Does that make sense? And so it we know that it aims to ruin us and to disrupt our Christian life, and so we stand against it. And, you know, you might feel today that very frustrated with your faith, and you might be thinking to yourself, you know, I just can't do this. It might work really good for other people, but I can't seem to make these changes. I can't seem to sort of get out of the old me and into this new life in Christ. You talk about this every week, Pastor Scott, but I can't seem to do it, and I can't seem to get myself from here to there. Well, I've got great news for you. Today is your day. This is the day to find freedom in Christ. Do you believe that? That's how powerful God's word is. And so I pray that that you'll hear his word today. You know, we'll be in Romans chapter 7, so if you want to start making your way there. But first, I want to sort of set the context in chapter 6. And I'm just going to sort of paraphrase chapter 6, verse 9. Paul tells us, he says, you once presented your bodies as slaves to sin and to impurity. That's how you presented yourself. You now present your bodies, your members is what he calls it in the ESV. You now present your members, your bodies, as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. This is one of those words in the book of Romans. Well, first, let's look at that word slave, okay? That's the Greek word. It's doulos, and it means servant. And this refers to a voluntary servant or an involuntary servant, right? So Back in Jesus's day, there were bond servants, and a bond servant was more of a voluntary servant. What they did is, if they owed someone a debt, they said, "I will be your slave for 3 years to pay off that debt." Okay, or if they wanted a piece of property, they would say, "I will give myself to you as a slave for so many years to have that piece of property." And so, when you hear this word slave, we know that we are no longer slaves to sin. We no longer serve sin. We are now slaves to Christ. We serve Him. We are servants of Him. We're voluntary servants of the living God. And then he says this. He says, this leads to sanctification. And this is a real churchy word, right? You don't hear this a lot in the world, this word, this term. And it comes from a Latin word, sanctus, and it means to be set apart or to be made holy, right? Sanctuary is where that Latin word it comes from. And so picture it this way. As a Christian, you are set apart to grow in Christ, to become more like Christ. And so when you think of this term sanctification, think about spiritual growth, okay? Salvation is spiritual birth. Sanctification is spiritual growth, okay? We're talking about spiritual growth today. So according to chapter 6 in Romans, you're a servant of God now, right? You serve Him. You're growing, right? This is the sanctification process. He says in chapter 6, verse 17, you are obedient from the heart. So your obedience now is different, okay? You're a servant of His. You voluntarily, you're glad. You're a joyful servant. You have joyful obedience to God, willful obedience to Him. Okay? It's part of your faith, this new faith in Christ. And so we hear this word obedience, and we think, you know, I know, you know, sometimes I feel like being obedient from the heart, but then there's other times where I just want to make myself feel good. Okay? There's times, yeah, I want to be obedient to God. But there's so many other times when I just sort of want to do my own thing and go my own way. And here lies the problem, right? This is this war that we're talking about today. We all experience this war. This is all of our experiences. Every person in here, every believer in here has to deal with this. Today's message is about winning that war. It's about winning that war. Now stay with me, okay? Now watch how Paul does this. He's going to show them what the problem is, and then he's gonna explain the struggle inside of us, and then he's going to point us to victory. Does that sound good? And so now move to chapter 7. And at the beginning of chapter 7, he's talking about the law again, all right? Now, we've made our way from chapter 1 to chapter 7 now. He's talking about the law again, and he starts to make it clear that the law is not your focus anymore. Now, remember, his primary audience as he's writing this letter to a church in Rome, okay, and most of them are Jews, former Jews. They knew all about the law. And so he's saying your focus is not the law anymore. Look at verse 4, chapter 7, verse 4. It says this, you died to the law through the body of Christ. Isn't that interesting? As a Christian, you died with Christ. You are forever dead to the condemnation and penalty of the law. Forever dead to the condemnation and penalty of the law. Romans 7:12, it says, tells us that the law is holy and just and good. Listen, it's God's perfect holy standard. Of course, it's not wrong. It's just that you can't keep it. And so to focus on it And to make that your everything is not going to work. You are dead to the law. When Jesus was crucified, when he was buried, you were crucified with him. You and your sin, you were buried with him, and you were raised to walk a new life. A new life. So you're not under the law anymore. Praise the Lord, you are under grace. Isn't that good news? And you'll need that grace to deal with this war that goes on inside you every single day. You'll need grace. That's why it's amazing grace. And so his grace keeps us from continual condemnation. I'll tell you, I battle this even to this day. If anyone's going to condemn me, it's me, right? And I'll see myself failing God. And I'm so tempted to condemn myself for the failures, but then I go back and I'm reminded of the truth of God's word that dispels the lie of condemnation, okay? And it encourages me to live under his grace, knowing that under his grace, as I remain obedient from the heart, as a willing servant of his, he brings peace and joy into my life. Amen? So you can now live in freedom and you can have the joy that you long for and the new life that you long for and the fresh start that you've longed for, where his mercies are new every single day. But here's the problem. Let's talk about the problem. So he was talking about the law at the beginning of chapter 7. Now look at chapter 7, verse 5. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members. Whenever you see that word members, he's just talking about our bodies, right? And so we're at work in our members to bear fruit for death. And so there's the problem. And then he says this, look at verse 6. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve, remember, we're servants of God now, that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. So as followers of Christ, we are released from the law, right? Free from the old way. We are not slaves of sin. We are servants of God. We now serve, it says, in the new way of the Spirit. And so this is referring to the Holy Spirit. And every single, the scripture tells us that every believer, every follower of Christ has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that lives in the life of every believer. This is important. And so now this, the Holy Spirit, when we read the Word of God, it convicts us and prompts us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us, Scripture says. We're going to learn more about this next week. But the Holy Spirit guides us. It counsels us. It reminds us of the words of God, is what Scripture says. It empowers us to live out this faith. So the work of the Holy Spirit, it's absolutely necessary to live in victory. It's absolutely necessary to live in victory. Okay? So when I was young in the faith, and I would hear this word, Holy Spirit, I would go, ooh, that sounds like a ghost. It sounds like mystical. And it just really weirded me out, all right? But that was just the work of Satan, trying to disrupt and to destroy one of the most important aspects of my faith, and it was why I was living in such a dead religion. I lived in a dead religion for the first 6 years of my faith. And so listen. Scripture tells us, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so this spiritual growth, this sanctification, okay, is what Paul calls it. It's a spiritual work, and it requires the work of the Spirit, all right? And it seems unusual to you right now, and that's because it's what Paul says, it's a new way, right? So obviously, if it's a new way, it's going to be unusual to you, right? It's going to be a little bit different to you. And so this is a new method. It's a new way of living, and you're just going to have to get over it, right? You're just going to have to get beyond the unusualness of it and realize you can't operate the old way in the new you. You can't operate the old way in the new you. Otherwise, you're going to live in a dead religion. And so what is the old way? Well, now we're getting into the heart of where the war inside of us is, right? And so Paul says in verse 5, go back to that. It says, now while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, in our members, to bear fruit for death. See, the old way is the old human weakness, where we're sort of driven by our own volition, okay? That's us living in the flesh. That's our sin nature. It's the nature that says, it's that sin nature that says, I'm the boss, I'm sort of in control here. I can make my own decisions. I can figure these things out. It's when you say, I'm a Christian, but this needs to really go my way. I'm a Christian, but this really needs to go in my direction. I need to be able to be the one that's in control of this. And so the problem with the flesh is the flesh has wrong motives, all right? And it's easily deceived by sin. And so if we're trying to live this Christian life in the flesh, our flesh has wrong motives, and it's easily deceived by sin. And so this really should make sense, okay? It's a spiritual life. It requires spiritual strength, right? It requires spiritual guidance. It's a spiritual work. It's different than the old you. You've put off the old you, Paul says. But we've only known how to live in the flesh. So what do? We only know how to live in the old way. Sometimes we want to just kind of operate old school in the old way, right? And so Paul addresses this when he talked to the church in Corinth. Look, listen to what he says to the church in Corinth. Okay, because these were believers who were really off track. And listen how he addressed them. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, people living in the spirit, right? But as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not yet ready, for you are still in the flesh. You are still of the flesh. That's what sanctification is. Time had gone by for those believers, and these believers were not growing. He called them infants. Why were they infants in the faith? Why were they just so living in such sort of a dead religion and sort of living like the world? Why were they doing that? Well, he made it super clear. He said they were living in the flesh. They were not living by the Spirit. And so the problem is, we're living in flesh bodies, and it seems really awkward to function in a new way, in a spiritual way. But it's going to require that, y'all. If you are going to have victory, if you're going to have you're going to win the war inside. Look, I used to struggle with depression. For years, I struggled with depression. I don't struggle with depression anymore. Why? Because I'm winning the war inside of me. Do you see what I mean? Because where my flesh wants to take me can only lead to deceit and lies and condemnation and beat down. The false guilt, the shame, all of those things, that's where my flesh wants to drive me, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Paul says in chapter 7, verse 6, we died to the old way. And then he says this, we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. The old way of the written code was his way of telling these Jewish believers, these converts from Judaism, that we don't serve that way anymore, where we focus on trying to fix ourselves by just focusing on the law. We serve in the new way, and the new way is this. We realize we don't have the strength to follow the law, right? We realize we don't have the strength, we don't have the human ability to live the life that God's called us to. As a matter of fact, the Christian life is not difficult, it's impossible. Why is it impossible? It's impossible to live in the flesh. But when we live in the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and there is hope, and there is joy. And when we get into a rhythm, and Paul calls it keeping in step with the Spirit, or I'm sorry, that's Peter. Peter calls it keeping in step with the Spirit. When we live by the Spirit of God, we experience the freedom of living in the Spirit. That's when we begin to grow. That's when the sanctification process starts to take root. You're truly serving God, living by His Spirit. So that's the problem, this war inside of us. And here's, this is, look at verse 15. So this is Paul, and he's going, okay, so that's the problem, right? You need to live the new way in the Spirit. And then he just gives them example of his own life and his own struggle. It's pretty amazing what he does here. Verse 15, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So he's like, and I want to remind you of this, okay? Paul is their supreme religious leader, okay? He's the one all of them are turning to for teaching about who the Lord is and teachings about Christ. I mean, if they're going to turn to anyone, they're going to turn to Paul. And here's what Paul is saying. I'm dealing with the same thing you're dealing with. I don't understand this battle either. And look, none of us do. It's hard for us to really contend with it. We try to do it in our own strength. And so he's like, I don't understand this either. And these Jews, they had to be just flabbergasted when they received this letter and they heard that he would struggle this way too, because religious leaders never were vulnerable like this. They weren't genuine like this. They weren't used to this kind of talk. And so he says, I'm struggling with this too. Look at verse 17. So now it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin that's dwelling within me. It's not me. It's just this sin. I want to do what's right for the Lord. I want to live for Him. But it's this battle inside of me, this sin that keeps tempting me. Verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, in my flesh. Okay? Nothing good in flesh, man. Okay? Nothing good in flesh, man. Now he's separating his identity in Christ with this sinful flesh nature, this body, these sin bodies that we have to live in when we're here on earth. And he's like, I am in Christ, but I live in this flesh body. Verse 18, this is the second part of verse 18. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I can't do this in my own strength. And so he desires to please God. And this is huge. He's saying, in my own strength, I can't do this. I can't win this war in my own strength. Verse 21. So I find it to be the law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Verse 23, but I see in my members, in my body, another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Do you see this struggle? He is getting so real with these people. I'm sure that they've got to be flabbergasted that he's doing this. And he's saying, this war, I deal with this all the time. And he says, there's another evil law at work against my faith in Christ. That's what he's saying. The law of the sin nature, the law of evil. And notice where he says the war is waging war against my mind. It is a war of the mind, y'all. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, what God's truth does is it renews the mind. It renews the mind. And what it is, really, it's a mindset. You're going to see this here in just a minute. It's about setting your mind on the things of God, setting your mind on the Spirit of God, setting your mind on the truth of God's word. So he says, it's waging war against my mind. And then look at verse 24, and I could completely relate to verse 24. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, here's the thing. Paul was living in victory. As a matter of fact, there was a day he was put in a dungeon. He was facing death, and he was just singing praises to the Lord. Every time they wanted to kill him, he said, well, to live is Christ. To die is gain. You can do whatever you want with me. He knew what it was like living in freedom, but he also knew this war that waged inside of him, and he's trying to help them get to this next verse. Because he said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now here's the victory. Look at verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that when I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh serve the law of sin. Victory is found only through Jesus Christ. You may not know that right now. You might be here today and not have a relationship with the Lord, and the only thing that you know is to follow the flesh. The only thing that you know is to keep on the pattern, but you see, that's what really is hurting you. And you'll never know that because you'll never get, if you don't get on the other side of that, come to Christ and get on the other side of that lie, you'll never know the truth. You'll stay in the lie till the day you die. But I love what he says. He starts to point to Jesus, right? He starts to point to him. And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, look what he says going into chapter 8. He says this, verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's continuing this line of thought. What a wretched man I am. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then he goes in and he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, I'm under grace, right? Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life set me free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And you are positioned for victory when you're in Christ. You are now under grace. You have died with Christ. You have risen to live a new life now, okay? When you've made the decision to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've risen to walk a new life now. And now this life that you live in these flesh bodies, you live by faith in Jesus Christ, and you live by the power of His Spirit. That's how we live. Look what he says. God has given you a new way. And your flesh is too weak to live by the law. Look what he says in verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man. He looked just like us, Jesus did. By sending his son, his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, right? The righteous requirements of the law is the wages of sin is death, okay? So all sin leads to death. Separation from God for all eternity. He paid the price that is out of the way. When you put your faith in Jesus, you die his death, you resurrect to new life, and you live that new life on this earth and for all eternity, okay? In order that the righteous requirements of the law may be fulfilled, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on things of the Spirit. So here's the point. Christians who live in freedom, they live differently. They walk by faith. It says in Romans 1:17, we covered that a few weeks ago. And they walk by the Spirit. He says right here, we live by faith, trusting in the Lord. We live in his power. We're led by his Spirit, right? And these Christians who walk according to the flesh, who set their minds on the things of the flesh, there is no freedom in that. And there is no peace in that. Now look, And look what it says. I don't know if I put this on the screen, but let me just read Galatians chapter 6, verse 18, or verse 8. It says this, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life. Reap eternal life. Those who are in the flesh, verse 8 of chapter 8 in Romans, cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There is this war inside of you. There is a war inside of you, and it's a problem, y'all. And it cannot go away on this side of heaven. It's a war that you are going to contend with, all right? There's this flesh that wants to rule you and wants to rule your mind, and it wants to take you to places that you don't want to go. And it can only pull you down. It can pull you towards the lie. It can pull you towards deceit and corruption and frustration and depression and pride and self-righteousness and on and on and on. It will keep pulling you and pulling you there. But Paul says you're either an infant in Christ or you're lost, right? When you're operating that way, living in the flesh, trying to live the Christian life in the flesh, Paul says you're an infant in Christ. I don't care how old you are. You could be 80 years old living as an infant in Christ, living the Christian life in the flesh, okay? So you're either an infant in Christ who's never been sanctified and grown to walk in the Spirit, or you're lost and you have no relationship with God and you're trying to figure this out on your own instead of turning your life over to Jesus. So how do you win this war inside? Well, we've talked about this, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We now walk by the Spirit. In Galatians, it says, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the lust of the flesh. So how do we win the war on inside of us? You're going to see this on the screen. We live by the Spirit by setting our minds on the Spirit. Another way of putting it is setting our minds on the things of God, right? And here's how that works. Lord, I'm operating in the flesh right now as a believer. I feel myself pulling towards the lie. I don't feel right. I feel like you know, I'm moving my thoughts in the wrong direction. I'm beating myself down. I'm living in deception right now. I know it because I stand opposed to sin and I don't want it in my life and I can sense it and this is wrong and my body and my life is heading in the wrong direction because the flesh is sort of taking over. I don't want that, Lord. I want to operate in your power. And I want to live by your spirit. Help me now to walk in your spirit. And then what you do, y'all, is you begin to get the word of God in your heart, right? And so when you open up the word of God, I want you to know, we share this all the time here, okay? The Bible is not a book of information. There is information in it, okay? But it's a book of transformation. It's about knowing God in a relationship. It's a love letter from God that teaches us and changes us. It's the living word. It's powerful. And what it does is it separates and divides out and cuts out the lie. So the truth of God's word fights the lies inside of you. And as you get God's word in your heart, the Spirit of God will remind you about the word of God, which will take the truth of God and dispel the lies of the enemy. Amen? And so this is how it works. This is how it works. And so if you want to win the war inside of you, you live by the Spirit. And you set your minds on the things of God. You set your mind on the Spirit. And so you say, help me, Lord, to live by your Spirit. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, we walk by faith, that's trusting in God. We live by the Spirit. That means I'm depending on Him. I'm depending on His guidance. I'm depending on His power. And then we stay deeply entrenched in the Word of God so we are equipped, so we are properly equipped. Well, maybe God is at work in your life right now. I pray that He is. I think He wants to take you to new places. I believe that He wants to open new things up for you. And maybe you're in a place right now where you're tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you're tired of living the old way, and you're ready to step into the new way. And I've got really good news for you. This is a great place for fresh starts and new beginnings. And it's a place for you to begin again with Jesus, or to start anew with Jesus. Amen? And so let me share this with you. This is the problem with mankind, okay? It's called sin. We talked about this last week. We have to confront sin in order to find salvation, okay? If you don't know that there's sin and sin is destroying you and leading you to death, if you don't confront it, all right, you're living a lie. So you confront the lie of sin. Well, what is sin? Well, sin is an attitude that says, I'm the boss of me. This is my life. I can do what I want with it. Okay, it's an attitude. And it's an action that plays out in a lot of different ways, like lying and stealing and gossip and pride and all kinds of things. Okay, you have to confront that. And you have to be able to say, Lord, I have sinned against you, and I confess that to you. I know that sin is separating me from you, and today I'm confronting it, and I'm going to repent of it. So I turn away from sin, and today, Lord Jesus, I turn to you. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. When he died on the cross, he died for my sins. He was buried in a grave, but in 3 days he rose again. And when he rose to new life, he destroyed death for me. And when he was buried, I was buried. When he rose, I believe that when I trust him today, I rise again to a new life. And then the next is you have to personally trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to personally trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that means you have put your personal trust in Jesus as Lord, the boss of your life, right? Remember, I told you sin Sin says, I'm the boss. It's the attitude that says, I'm the boss of me. Well, now you're taking the crown off your head. You're casting it at Jesus' feet, and you're saying, I'm no longer king. That means a lot, y'all. There's a lot of implications with that. You don't know them all. That's all good. But if you want to be saved, you have to realize you're taking a crown off your head. You're throwing them at Jesus' feet, and you're saying, you're the boss of me. You are the Lord of my life now. I'm not Lord anymore. It changes everything. It changes how you steward everything, your life, your money, all your possessions, how you work with your time, your schedules. Now he prioritizes to the very top, and everything else bows its knee to him. He is Lord. So he's Lord, and you're trusting him as Lord, and you're trusting him as Savior. What does that mean? He saved you from your sins. Okay? God sent a lifeline. He said you had to live a perfect life. You couldn't live a perfect life, and neither could I. So he sent Jesus, okay? Jesus is your lifeline. He sent Jesus to be your Lord and to save you from your sin, save you from yourself. You're wondering why you feel so insecure? It's because of you, the sin that's living inside of you. Jesus has come to save you from that. You're wondering why you struggle with depression? It's because of the sin inside of you. It is causing you to believe a lie. Jesus wants to save you from that. You want to find hope. You can't seem to find it in this world. That's exactly the way it is with sin. God knows that. He wants to give you hope. Jesus has come to save you from your hopelessness. Doesn't that sound good? And so when you trust him as Lord and Savior, your life all bows down before the Lord. He is Lord and he is Savior of everything. And yes, he will save you from that depression. Yes, he will save you from the homosexuality. Yes, he'll save you from adultery. He will save you and deliver you from any sin that you have ever committed in all of life's past, present, or future. Isn't that good news? And then finally, what you're doing when you come to Jesus is you're receiving his forgiveness, and it's complete release. It's a complete release. And here's what his forgiveness does. We could talk about this. We talk about this in a seminar we're going to start next month. I do this every year. It's called Finally Free. And what we teach in this is when you receive God's freedom or God's forgiveness, you become a forgiver. Now, you think you're already a forgiver, but I'll tell you, there's a lot more to it, okay? You'll become a constant forgiver. Why? It's because as you're growing in Christ, you really realize more and more and more and more and more his forgiveness of you and how offensive your sin is to him. And so let me ask you a question. Do you want to be free today? He certainly wants to bring forth.